kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for spending time in the School of Grace to explore the multidimensional grace of our Almighty Gracious Father God. This study on grace is absolutely life-changing, and I'm grateful to God that, you know, we're able to take this journey together. Now, we have come to a very, very exciting point in our study of grace. And that is when we now undertake a case study in the dynamics of grace in the life of a particular individual. And I call this teaching now, the cripple at the king's table. The cripple at the king's table. This is a case study in the dynamics and the possibilities of grace. And we are looking at the life of one individual that you will be astonished by how much his own story lines up with our own story. And I will also be posting the outline for this study in the group. And, you know, you can always get the complete Overflowing Grace study book through our website. The cripple at the king's table. Now, the cripple's name was Mephibosheth, and his life is a story of grace, which truly, very truly, mirrors our own case. And the Bible also calls him Meribaal in some other scriptures, which you'll see in the outline. And we are going to see crucial parallels, you know, in his story and ours. And then I believe that this is going to generate fresh wonder as we celebrate the grace in which we stand. Praise God. So our texts are in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. There are also some other places where you can read the story later, in 2 Samuel chapter 16 as well as chapter 19. But we will be focusing on the first two texts. So Father, in the name of Jesus, please bless our reading and study of your word, and use it to impart grace to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin by reading 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Samuel 4:4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee, you know, she was in a hurry to run away, the Bible says he fell and he became lame, he became paralyzed, he got crippled, and his name was Mephibosheth. So this verse gives us the background about the man that we are studying about, Mephibosheth. And it's a very important background, because if we don't understand what happened to Mephibosheth, we will not really appreciate the grace that came to him. Likewise, if we don't understand what happened to us as humanity, we will not appreciate the grace that came to us. So keep this background in mind, because when we now begin a comparative analysis of the grace and the favor of God that brought the cripple to the king's table, you notice how contradictory that seems. Crippled people don't normally sit at a king's table. But we are going to find that that was the case with Mephibosheth. That was what grace did in his life. Grace has power to locate a cripple and relocate the cripple to the king's table from the wilderness. Just remember that. We are going to see more of it as we continue our study. Grace has power to relocate a cripple from a barren wilderness right back to the king's table. That's what grace did for Mephibosheth, and God has done far more than that for us in Christ. So Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was Saul's son. So Jonathan had a son, but this son became different from his father through an accident. See, it was not an intentional thing that happened to Mephibosheth that paralyzed him. It was not because he was doing rough play or because he was fighting with somebody or something else. It was an accident. And we are told what happened. You see, this son of Saul's son, so automatically you can see that Mephibosheth is royalty. He is right in the lineage to become king in the land of Israel. And he was 5 years old when this thing happened. So what was it that happened? The Bible says the news. Oh, that news was sad. It was bad. It was hard. It was terrible. It was horrible. The news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. Now, if you're a student of scripture, you will know that the news that came was that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. Oh, they had killed, you know, the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, had killed Saul and Jonathan in battle on the same day. It happened at Jezreel. So when that news came, the Bible now says his nurse, Mephibosheth's nurse, took him up and fled. And why was she running away? It's because as the heir, Mephibosheth was a target. You see, anybody who could kill Mephibosheth has cleared out the lineage, and then the person can assume, you know, kingship. So the nurse had good intentions. She didn't intend to paralyze, you know, Meph, as I might be calling him in this study. But it just happened. She was in a hurry to, you know, take him and run away. Oh, he fell. Of course, for him to fall, probably the nurse also fell. Maybe they tripped over something. And when Mephibosheth fell, notice what happened. He became lame. Oh, probably it was a spinal cord or something that just got damaged. And he was not lame in one foot. He was lame in both feet. You see how the devil, when he wants to finish a person, he doesn't just paralyze one side. He wants to bring complete destruction. If he was lame in one foot, he would have been hopping around and, you know, try to figure out things for himself and, you know, make some effort. But he was lame in both feet, completely paralyzed. So he became dependent. Oh, Mephibosheth. This is the background of Mephibosheth's story. And please keep that in mind as we now read the second text, which is 2 Samuel chapter 9. From verses 1 to 13. So in that scripture now, David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" This is David talking. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Is there nobody remaining in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? You see, and David is thinking this thing by himself. Nobody told him to think these thoughts. Keep that in mind, because Mephibosheth was not the source of this thought. Mephibosheth did not suggest this. Mephibosheth is in the wilderness. We are going to see that now. He is in a desert somewhere. But deep in the heart of the king, oh, the thought of grace, the thought of kindness was brewing in the heart of King David. And notice he said, "To whom I may show the kindness of God." So immediately we see that the kindness that David was going to show to Mephibosheth would be very, very much like the kindness of God himself. It will be God's kindness passing through David and reaching Mephibosheth. This is not human kindness. He said, "Is there anybody left of the house of Saul?" By the way, you will agree with me that you know the story between the house of Saul and David. Saul was looking for David to kill him. He attempted to kill him and assassinate him several times, but it was the mercy of God, the kindness of God, that preserved David. Now, for David to show kindness to the house of Saul, you can see he's showing kindness to the house of his enemy. And it is the kindness of God. And you are going to see when we do our comparative analysis that that's exactly what God has done to us. For God to show kindness to the house of humanity that have sinned against him and offended and broken the laws of God and acted contrary to the character of God. For God to show us kindness is the miracle of the grace of God. Is there still somebody left of the house of Saul? You know, I hear God asking, is there still somebody left of the house of humanity to whom I can show kindness? Come and hear that question ringing in the heart of God because of the grace of God. Do you know that grace is looking for somebody to bless? Grace is looking for somebody to help. Grace is looking for somebody to save. Grace is looking for somebody to extend the kindness of God to. You see, the grace of God is hungry for manifestation. Whoa, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that people will get a proper view of God. You see, Satan likes to blackmail God. Satan likes to paint God as if God is a taskmaster, difficult to please. Before he will give you one blessing, you have to fast and fast and fast and fast and fast for a century, and then he will drop something. No, no, that is not the picture of the God of Scripture. Just hear heaven asking this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are listening to this, whatever the time. So just believe me when I'm telling you that as you are listening to this message, the God of glory, the gracious God, is asking, where are the people in the house of humanity to whom I can give grace? Where are the people that are willing to come and collect grace and experience the kindness of God, the multi-dimensional kindness of God in the different areas of their life? Is there anybody left? Where are the people? Oh, grace is reaching out. That's what David did here. He didn't wait for Mephibosheth to crawl from the wilderness and come to Jerusalem and then start asking, please, is there any relative of my father that has power here? Is there something he can do for me? No, 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 no. Grace was not waiting for Mephibosheth to start begging. Grace was reaching out. Glory to God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. Not they didn't ask him to describe this person. They say, is there anybody left? But look at Ziba, the servant. Look at what Ziba said. There is still a son of Jonathan, but he's lame in his feet. He's paralyzed. He's crippled. Who asked Ziba whether the man was lame or not? You see, the devil, when the favor of God wants to reach somebody, Satan brings up the weakness. He brings up the thing that should disqualify the person from receiving the grace of God. But I'd like you to know, grace bypassed Ziba's show of disdain for somebody's weakness. Who asked you? They said, is there anybody left? You should have said, yes, sir. His name is Mephibosheth. Then when they bring the person and then let them find out that the man is lame by himself, why are you reporting somebody's lameness? Oh, may you not be somebody to broadcast the lameness or the weaknesses of other people. And I'm not talking of covering up sin. I'm talking of giving grace. Being slow to point out and, you know, criticize other people's weaknesses. He said he's lame in both of his feet. Look what the king said. So the king said to him, where is he? Where is he? So note what is happening now. Grace is going to locate Mephibosheth. You see, because until you locate Mephibosheth, you cannot relocate Mephibosheth. The first thing that the grace of God does is to locate. Where is he? Where is he? Where is this man? Oh, and then Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Now, Lodibar is the wilderness, is the desert. That's where the man is, the son of Machir. You know, in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodiba, is in the desert. You see, that's why the Bible says all of us, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not for God to condemn us. The Bible says God has concluded everybody under sin so that he can have mercy on all. You see, the first thing grace does is to locate. Where is he? God asked Adam when humanity fell in the garden. He said, "Where are you? Where are you?" That's why when God asks that question, tell him exactly where you are located. Tell him exactly where you are, what the matter is. Show him your true character. Don't hide. Don't hide from God. Don't hide your location. Don't hide your situation. You see, a lot of people don't find grace because they don't want to be located. And you see, our present location before grace intervenes is a place of disgrace. Where is he? Oh, he's living in sin somewhere. He's committing adultery somewhere. He's a liar. He's cheating somebody in the house of so-and-so place, in the desert, in the kingdom of darkness. That's where he is. Aha! Now that the man has been located, the Bible now said in verse 5, then King David sent and brought him. King David sent and brought him. So notice, grace relocated him. He didn't say, somebody tell Mephibosheth that he should come. Tell him to come. If he ever gets to Jerusalem, let him check on me. I have something for him. No. The king himself sent and brought him. I don't know, the chariot that the king used, the limousine of that time, suddenly arrived in the desert. And they said they are looking for Meph. They say, which Meph? They say, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, you came to carry the cripple with this chariot. You came to carry the cripple with this presidential limousine. They say, yes, the cripple is heading to the palace. He's going to the king's table. Oh, grace, grace, grace. He sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodiba. This is verse 5 now. Now, he brought him. Grace relocated Mephibosheth. Now, verse 6. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear. You see, grace. Oh, grace. He said, don't be afraid. For I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. He said, don't be afraid. I will surely. This is not guesswork. I will surely show you kindness. I will not give you justice, but I will show you kindness. Oh, the grace of God. Please, I pray that you will rediscover God's boundless grace. Oh, that the church will announce grace to a world that deserves judgment. Oh, that the body of Christ, we will extend grace. Some people think that when you extend grace, you are condoning sin. No, we must find a way to extend grace while still maintaining truth. He said, but somebody will take grace for granted. Excuse me, please. Anybody who is taking grace for granted does not understand grace. He does not understand grace. David said, don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore. I will restore. First of all, notice that the kindness that Mephibosheth is going to experience is not for Mephibosheth's sake. It is kindness for the sake of Jonathan. You see, there is a covenant that existed between David and Jonathan. Remember that these people were bound by oath to one another. They committed themselves in the most intimate friendship that two men can have. Of course, both of them, this holy friendship between David and Jonathan, there was a covenant of protection, of love, of affection, a covenant of blessedness between the two of them. Jonathan removed his entire armor, stripped it, and gave to David. And David didn't have much to give. And David always felt indebted to Jonathan. Jonathan provided the information that helped to save David's life. He said, my father is planning to kill you, but don't worry. I will tell you what he's planning, and I will give you information. I will help you to escape. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. Grace, grace, grace. Something existed between David and Jonathan. And do you know that the kindness that God shows to us is for the sake of Jesus Christ? There is a covenant between the Father and his son Jesus. Oh, Father, there is a covenant between the Father and his son Jesus. There is something that Jesus has done that makes it possible for the Father to show us grace for the sake of Christ, not for the sake of us, not because of what we have done, but for the sake of Jesus. Oh God, Father, thank you. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for Jesus. For the sake of Jesus. For the sake of Christ. Why does he forgive? Why does he heal? Why does he deliver? Why does he comfort? Why did he take us out of the dunghill and seat us with Christ in heavenly places? It's not for our sake. We merited justice and judgment and condemnation, but for the sake of Christ, for the sake of Jesus, the one that left heaven and came and paid our price up on Calvary's cross, for the sake of Christ, God answers our prayers. You see, when you pray, forget about yourself. Put yourself, don't be quoting what you did and what you didn't do. If God is going to answer you because of you, you will get disaster. You are going to get judgment. That's what all of us merit. But for the sake of Christ, he shows us grace. David said, I will show you kindness. Surely. You see, because this kindness is not dependent on Mephibosheth, it is guaranteed. He says, surely. Look, do you know that by this time, the Jonathan they are talking about is gone? But David said, for the sake of Jonathan, surely I'm going to show you kindness. Oh God, Father, thank you. Do you know that when you come to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the kindness and the grace of God towards you is not temperamental. It's not occasional. It's guaranteed. It's sure. The reason is because the Father will not be looking at you. He's looking at Christ. He's looking at what God did. And when we say in the name of Jesus, what we are saying practically is, Father, do this thing for us because of Jesus. Because of who Jesus is to you, for the sake of Christ. Oh, glory. I will surely show you kindness. And then he said, I will restore. I will restore. You see, the restoration that comes by grace. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. I will restore to you everything that belonged to your grandfather. David should have collected everything that belonged to Saul and put it in his backyard and added to his own. He said, but I'm going to restore it to you. You see, the restoration that comes to us by grace restores everything that our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, everything that he lost, is restored to us by the grace and the kindness of Almighty God. And can I say to you, and much, much more. Now listen to what David said to you, to this man that is coming from the wilderness. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. You will eat bread at my table continually. You will be at my table. You will be a permanent person at my table. Grace is now giving Mephibosheth unlimited, continual access into the presence of the king himself. Wow. The man is coming from the wilderness. This man is paralyzed in both feet. He is lame. Wow. Grace. Grace brought him. Grace restored everything. And now grace is giving him access to eat bread at the table of the king. At the table of the king, continually. Not occasionally. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? So you see, the way Mephibosheth sees himself. You see the way Mephibosheth, this man is royalty. Now he sees himself as a dead dog. He sees himself because of all the experiences, all the things that have happened. Mephibosheth's sense of identity has crashed. Say, what is in this dead dog that you are paying attention to me? But the king wouldn't, that dog wouldn't even stop the king from showing grace. Do you know that God sees you differently from the way you see yourself? Why you are calling yourself dead dog? God says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So now you see, Mephibosheth will have to renew his mind. I said Mephibosheth, brother Meph, will have to renew his mind in line with his new identity. And I'm coming to that point. You see, when grace locates and relocates, the people that are being relocated by grace, because they are coming from a history of disgrace, now in the land of grace, they must renew their minds. Whoa, hallelujah! They must renew their minds to the new realities of the grace wherein they stand. This man now that was calling himself dead dog, now that he's being relocated by grace, he has to think afresh. He has to start seeing himself in the way the king sees him. He has to feel free. Can you imagine dead dog eating at the table with other sons of the king? And you are going to see that. Look at it. Look what the king said next. He said, and the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said to him, he called him. He said, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Everything that belonged to Saul, Jonathan, everybody that had any relationship with Saul, I'm restoring to you. Oh, the miracle of grace. And the king now said to Ziba, you therefore and your sons and your servants, you shall walk the land for him. Meph, brother Meph, will not go to farm, but you, Ziba and Co, you are going to walk the farm, you are going to do all the work, and you shall bring in the harvest. They are bringing in, they are doing the work and bringing in the harvest for a cripple. Now, where will the cripple be sitting? He's going to sit at the king's table, but you will still be doing his business. You will bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, this is double provision. He said, you will do all of these things so that he can have abundance to eat. He said, but Mephibosheth, your master's son shall eat bread at my table always. So you see, the king is providing double. So he's providing an overflowing abundance to Meph. He says, you are going to farm the land for Meph. You will do all of his business. You will bring in the harvest so that your master's son will have something to eat. But that's your master's son that you are gathering all those things for. He will eat at my table always. I can imagine the people that were in the court of the king that day. They open their mouths and they are watching. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. So now, automatically now, Mephibosheth has inherited 15, or Ziba himself, the 15 sons of Ziba, and the 20 servants of Ziba. Now you are dealing with 20 plus 15, that is 35 plus 1, 36 servants. Inherited in one moment. This is what grace has brought to Mephibosheth. Ziba said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you know that the Bible talks about angels? It says they are ministers of those who are the heirs of salvation. Believers have never explored the miracles of grace, the things that have come to us because of the grace of God. Now, angelic hosts now stand beside believers. Not for us to be commanding them around, but for heaven to assign them to tasks that concern us. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. Look at that second part of verse 11. He shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. He's going to eat at my table like one of the king's sons. What? Okay, I want you to picture the thing, this large dining table. And then all the sons of the king start arriving. You know, you have Amnon, Solomon, Absalom, you have all of these different people, you have all of these different sons, Nathan and plenty of the others. Say, hey, bros, hi, how are you doing? And these are royalty, and they are all arriving. And here comes the cripple scooting along and swishing himself, and they are pushing him in his wheelchair. And they looked at each other, and they looked at the man on the wheelchair, and they said, wait, who brought this person here? And then David, as he was walking in, he said, hey, stop. All of you, look at Mephibosheth very well. He's now your brother. Hey! David practically adopted Mephibosheth. And that's what grace has done for us in Christ. He adopted him as one of his own sons. If the children are eating, so picture them, they are eating at the table. And Mephibosheth says, Solo, please pass the chicken. I can imagine Solomon look at him, and then he will look at his legs. And then he will look at the king. And then he will say, yes, Mef, here's the chicken. And then he say, hey, Absalom, can I have the, Absalom, pass the potatoes. Hey, I can picture Mephibosheth as he's settling in. Initially, the thing will be very awkward, but then I picture Mephibosheth when he's getting used to his new status. May you get used to your new status in Christ. May you come to a place where you begin to walk in the fullness of all that the amazing grace of God has purchased for us in Christ. Picture Mephibosheth at the table. The cripple at the king's table. Like one of the king's sons. And they are telling stories. You know, at that dining table, they are discussing matters of royalty. The king will say, the ambassador from the country of Arabia, he will be coming tomorrow. Mephibosheth say, I look forward to seeing him. Can you imagine? Do you know that when those kings came, they ate at the same table? When the royal visitors, when all the top people, if the princes themselves are eating with Mephibosheth, you can be sure that even the other officials of the country, when they come, maybe there's another table where they'll be eating. All of them are in the same place. And they are wondering, who brought this cripple to the table of the king? You don't know that all creation wonders at the grace of God towards us. The Bible says the angels and even the prophets that prophesied about what we now enjoy. The Bible said they were searching, they were wondering. And they were thinking, who are these people that will inherit this thing we are preaching? Who will be the recipients of this astounding benefit? You can read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He said, I will put my spirit inside them. I can imagine them say, what? God is going to put his spirit inside these people? All of them will be born of God. All of them will have the indwelling. God himself will walk in them and talk in them and speak in them and through them. Who are these people? What will they be like? Bible says the angels themselves in heaven, they long to get a peep into this astounding design that has brought us salvation. People, imagine people wondering as they look at Mephibosheth. They look at his leg, then they look at the king, and the king is smiling. As they are looking at his paralyzed legs, they think the king didn't see that. Who told you the king doesn't know that Mephibosheth is paralyzed and crippled before he brought him to his table? Leave your weaknesses alone and concentrate on grace. The more you look on grace, you see, if you focus on your weaknesses, they will remain. But if you concentrate on grace, grace will release power to overcome those weaknesses. Not excuse them, to overcome them and to walk in victory. Oh, glory to the Son of God. As one of the king's sons. Now in verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. Do you know that brother Meph, I can imagine him now take his son Micah as he's coming to eat. And there's a little seat, by the big table. And Micah sits down. And Micah sits down. And Micah is seeing all these people that he reads about in newspapers of those days. He said, oh, wow. So that is Solomon there. People he used to hear about from the wilderness, now he is rubbing shoulders with them. And now come and see something. Do you notice that Micah was not paralyzed? He's not crippled. Oh, the grace of God. The grace takes the cripple out of the wilderness. Grace gives sons that are whole to crippled people that were paralyzed. Grace, 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 amazing grace. Look at verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. I don't know if you see the wonder there. Glory to the Son of God. Now, what I want to do in closing is just to, you know, itemize and compare some of the things that we have seen and summarize them. And like I said, I'm going to post this outline into the forum. Now, the first thing we see, David and Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was born into a royal lineage and was heir to the throne in the house of Saul. And we ourselves, we are originally made in the image of God, and we are ordained to manifest his glory. So you can see that similarity. Now, Mephibosheth was crippled by an accident that traumatized his destiny. Remember, he fell. And do you know that human beings, we also fell? That's why what happened in Genesis chapter 3 is referred to as the fall. The fall. And it was also an accident. It was an accident. Adam and Eve did not plan to fall. Oh, but there was this terrible serpent, Satan and his wickedness, that deceived them. And it was too late by the time they realized that they had fallen and come short of the glory of God. Sin paralyzed us and introduced lameness. Oh, that caused us to fall short of the glory of God. And it happened early. What's his name? Mephibosheth was just 5 years old. And you can imagine that Adam and Eve, this was at the early, you know, early days or years of human experience. We are not told how long Adam and Eve had lived before, you know, they fell into sin. The Bible does not tell us that. But they fell. And the Bible says the legs of the lame are not equal because they are short. So you see, lameness is shortness. When one side is shorter than the other, or of course, when there is nervous trouble and both of the, you know, legs are equally paralyzed, and of course they hang limp. That's what happened to us, and we fell short of the glory of God. Now, Mephibosheth's life of shame and ridicule contradicted his name, which meant disperser of shame. You see, the name Mephibosheth means scatterer of shame. The one that disperses, that scatters shame. But look at now, shame has come to the man who is supposed to scatter shame. Our life of sin and shame contradicted God's purpose for us. We who were once created in the image of God for dominion, we came under the dominion of sin and Satan. But praise God, despite Mephibosheth's condition, his nurse refused to give up on him. And God refused to give up on humanity despite our troubles. Now, God raised help and provided shelter and care for him through Machir, the son of Amiel. It wasn't perfect, but at least Mephibosheth was kept alive. He had something to eat, somebody who looked after him. So God's grace sustained us. God introduced the law and other provisions pending our full redemption. And notice again, the kindness that Mephibosheth received began in the heart of King David. And the generosity, the grace we experience began in God's big heart. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And it was the kindness of God. Do you know that King Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar was looking for, this is Daniel chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. When King Nebuchadnezzar was looking for people that will stand before the king, not to eat at his table, people that will come into his presence, Nebu made very clear, you know, clear statements defining the qualities that those people must have. Nebuchadnezzar said, they must be people in whom there is no blemish, that are well favored, that are from royalty, and they must meet certain criteria. So somebody like Mephibosheth will never, never qualify to enter into the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. But come and see the kindness of God. Come and see the kindness of God that makes it possible for crippled humanity to sit in heavenly places with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is for the house of Saul that is supposed to collect wrath. So the house of humanity, we are estranged from God. We are enemies of God. But the grace of God has come to us. Blessed be God forevermore. Glory to God. You are going to see several other points I've listed there. But let me mention a few and then I'll draw this to a close. So Jonathan's relationship with David made Mephibosheth's disability of no consequence in the experience of kindness. This is very important. And that is why the finished work of Christ is our platform of grace. We receive grace because of who Jesus is and what Christ has done. That's why continually remove your eye from yourself and focus it on Christ. Hallelujah. Because it is because of what Christ has done that we receive grace. And that grace brought us restoration. Hallelujah. And I want you to see that Mephibosheth received much, much more than food. He received access. That's exactly what God has done for us. He has given us unbridled access to come into the presence of God at any time. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, the songwriter said. What needless pain we bear. Why? He said, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We are not using our access. Do you know that the greatest thing a king can do for you is not to give you a house? The greatest thing a king can do for you is not to give you land? The greatest thing that a king can do is to give you access into his presence. And access is not usually permanent. Access is temporary. It's singular. You have specific access for specific objective. You don't just keep coming into the presence of the king. Anybody who is coming into the king's presence comes for a season and for a reason. But Mephibosheth has unlimited access. That's what God has given to us in Christ. He says we can come boldly into the throne of grace, where we will receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Why is that so? He said, because we have a great high priest, because of Christ, we now have a permanent and standing invitation and access into the presence of our king. Glory to Almighty God. And don't forget that Mephibosheth was like one of the king's sons. He was not inferior to Ammon, the firstborn, and to Solomon and all the others. Glory to God. And we believers, we are one with Christ himself. As members of the household of God, we are not inferior to the angels. We are not inferior to other believers. We are God's children. Blessed be God forevermore. And Mephibosheth was brought to enlargement. He was blessed beyond imagination. And that's what has happened to us in Christ. We too, we have become heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done for us. Grace has translated us and has relocated us into the presence of God. Oh, the wonder of the grace of God. Do you know that later, when David had to run from Absalom, Ziba abandoned Mephibosheth. He was never happy about the fact of what grace did for Mephibosheth. Ziba, that man was not a good man. He lied and slandered, lied against and slandered Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth couldn't move. And so, in his own place, instead of when they ran away, everybody left Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was coming to eat in the king's presence. But you remember, he was in his own quarter where he was staying. So Ziba and Co just accused him. And Ziba told the king, they said that Mephibosheth said, now that you are running from Absalom, the kingdom will be restored to him. What kind of trash? Mephibosheth is too grateful. What is he looking for? But Ziba lied against him. In the same way, Satan will continue to accuse the recipients of grace. The devil will continually point out your shortcomings. Look at you. You are like this. You don't qualify. You look at what you did last 5 years. How can somebody like you be this or have this? How can God use you to do this? All of these are the lies of the devil. But glory to God, we overcome him, and we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives unto death. And thank God for Mephibosheth. He humbled himself before the king and he identified with the king. Do you know that when the king, ran away from Absalom, Mephibosheth would not even shave. He would not change his clothes. He was weeping and crying. He identified with the king. And when the king came back, Mephibosheth was reconnected to the king. In the same way, we must maintain a humble attitude of gratitude and wonder at the grace of God towards us in Christ. And Our gratitude shows as we identify with our King. We identify with His agenda. We identify with our King who wants to give grace to billions of people in the world who still don't know Jesus as their Savior. So we preach the gospel. We serve the King. We do whatever we can do to honor our King. Oh, we share about the grace of our King. We tell the story of the grace of the King that's changed our night into day. Glory to the Son of God. And we never lose the wonder. The cripple at the King's table. That's Brother Ferdinand. That's you. That's you, paralyzed, lame, deformed, but seated with Christ in heavenly places. And can I say something to you? Our own Jonathan, the Lord Jesus Christ, He did something that made it possible for us not to remain cripples. We were recreated. You see, David could not bring a new life to Mephibosheth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he could only show grace to the old Mephibosheth. He could show kindness to the old Mephibosheth. But do you know that the kindness of God towards us in Christ did not leave us as cripples? He gave us a new life. He recreated us in Christ. We have a new nature. Our paralysis is gone. We are children of light. We are now sons and daughters of Almighty God. Oh, imagine that somebody was paralyzed before, then the person got born again. Look at Micah, the son of Mephibosheth. Do you notice that Micah was not paralyzed? Because he was born, you know, from Mephibosheth. Can you imagine now that we have received new life? Our paralysis is gone. Now we are more than conquerors through Him that had loved us. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. That's the miracle. So you see, the kindness of God towards us in Christ and because of Christ supersedes by an incalculable degree the kindness that David showed to Mephibosheth. It was the shadow. Mephibosheth enjoyed the shadow, but we are enjoying the reality. So what must we do? We must continually praise the God of grace. We must be so full of gratitude that there is no grumbling. We have nothing. Excuse me. Can you imagine Mephibosheth complaining? What will he be complaining about? What are you complaining about, child of the Most High God? You are a new creature seated with Christ in heavenly places. But let me say to you before we pray. Remember that Mephibosheth has to renew his mind to his new identity. Begin to renew your mind. Begin to study the word of the King to see where grace has brought you, to see where grace has elevated you, and then begin to walk worthy of the calling that you have received in the name of Jesus. Oh, Eternal Father, we praise you for your grace, the grace that we take a cripple and bring him to the King's table. Oh, Father, we are so grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, continue to unveil this thing to us. Continue to cause us to walk in the full realities of the fullness of your grace. That, Lord, this grace will be maximized in our life. And Father, please, use every one of us to extend grace, to communicate grace, to invite our generation to receive grace. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, our own Jonathan. Thank you for the covenant that guarantees kindness to us. Thank you for what you did that makes it possible for us, crippled humanity, paralyzed by our sins, who are falling short, to be restored into your presence. Lord, we are grateful. And now we take up our new identity and we walk in the victory that you have purchased for us. Glory be to your name forever and ever. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Brother, sister, listen to this teaching over and over. Let me tell you something. When the word of God comes to us, the fact that we heard it once does not mean that it has settled in our spirit. I listen to these teachings myself over and over because I want them to settle in my heart as they are settled in heaven. And then the fullness of these possibilities will manifest in and through our lives as we do that. And don't forget to share with other people. In Jesus' name, may God bless you and keep you and use you to carry His matchless grace to a world in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.